Hi there, I'm Niall Kahn, and this is the PPRO Podcast. PPRO helps millions across the world pay and get paid for goods online. And PPRO is a part of the larger fintech industry. And this industry is constantly in flux, and at times can seem quite opaque. In each episode, I sit down with some of the expert voices from within PPRO to explore and hopefully illuminate an area of the fintech industry. This week, I'm sitting down with Jose Martinez, Senior Manager of Payment Partnerships, to discuss how people pay for goods around the world. Each corner of the world has really evolved their own special, specific type of payment that they prefer and have really grown accustomed to. I think this episode is a really good primer for an introduction to the diversity of payment methods in the e-commerce industry. And as usual, you'll find all of the resources that we used, as well as Jose's LinkedIn, in the show notes. And now, without further ado, Jose Martinez. So, Jose, welcome.
Hey, Naya. Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me to be here.
My pleasure. All right. So, you're going to educate us a little bit on what exactly APMs are and the different kinds of APMs that we have. Briefly, how would you describe APMs?
Well, APM stands for alternative payment methods. And that means that there must be an alternative to the, let's say, already existing and well-used card-based functionalities, which are international, like MasterCard, Visa, American Express, etc., etc.
Okay, excellent. So how does PPRO categorize these different APMs?
Well, I think the idea of PPRO was to be very strong in this alternative payment methods area. And what we do is we split that a bit in different categories like bank transfer, e-wallets. We're also considering bill payments as something which is important for the future, card wallets, and so on. Everything which is, let's say, not really fitting into all these credit card payment methods which are accepted worldwide.
Excellent. All right, so let's get started. So what exactly is a bank transfer?
Well, a bank transfer functionality is, let's say, in competition, let's call it this way, in competition to a credit card functionality. So imagine you would like to do a kind of checkout on your customer journey. You find a specific number on different payment methods, like your credit cards you're used to use, and some other bank transfer functionalities like GiroPay in the German-speaking countries, or support as a bank transfer functionality, support by Klarna, which is very quite used in Central Europe and some countries. And if you say, well, I would like to use one of these bank transfer functionalities, so you tick the button, you will be connected to your bank, and what you have to do is you have to log in with your login and PIN numbers in order to initiate this transaction immediately in that second.
So this comes from the bank account directly. So the cash is directly taken from the bank account and given to the merchant.
Absolutely. And that means on the other side, if you are, let's say, a registered customer, if you log in into your bank account and you click the yes button because you would like to buy this product or pay for the service, this payment is guaranteed for the merchant.
And where do we typically see bank transfers? You mentioned Central Europe. Are there any other places that we see bank transfers?
Of course. I think Europe is quite familiar with this functionality of processing and doing bank transfer functionalities. But we found it also in some other countries, like in South America, in some other countries like eastern parts of Czech Republic, Slovakia, and so on. The reason why this bank transfer functionality is more and more, let's say, an accepted payment method, it's because of the merchant is looking for have high valuable transactions with the highest probability on being transferred to his account.
So it's more secure than maybe some other alternative payment
method? I would say yes.
Okay. What other kinds of payment methods do we have? You mentioned also card-based payment methods.
So card-based payment methods are sometimes what we understand if we talk about global credit cards, yeah? So like, as I said before, American Express, Visa, MasterCard. And this payment methods are really well known in the e-commerce area. But what we've done is we've added some of the additional payment methods, also card-based, like, for example, China UnionPay or UnionPay, as you know, and some others which are, let's say, in specific regional areas, quite well accepted. Also in Latin America, yeah. So there are some card-based payment methods which are really necessary if you would like to do a kind of business there in these regions.
So card-based payment methods are, we would include Visa, MasterCard, but also these regional
specialities or flavors of payment cards?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so do they work very similar to Visa or MasterCard? Are there any differences, really?
In most of the cases, they work totally the same way as the credit cards are doing. This credit cards, or this, let's say, more regional credit cards, accepted for that reason, because banks would like also to have the opportunity to give a higher value to their own customers instead of just offering bank transfer functionalities.
Okay. So how exactly does cash-based payment methods work in an online economy? It seems kind of like this older, redundant thing from a bygone era, but how does this fit into our modern economy now?
Yeah, it seems to be a contradiction to e-commerce paying by cash, right? So I think there are some success stories. If you watch Portugal with Multibanco, if you see Boleto Bancario with Brazil, or with Oxxo with in Mexico. So imagine not everyone has access to a credit card, not everyone has a bank account, and these people, maybe because they are too young or for whatever reason, they are also, let's say, online, they would like to buy for products and services, and therefore cash payment functionality has been invented for such class of customers, yeah, which are, of course, potential clients. And what they do is they choose a product or a service on the internet. They go for the checkout and they don't choose credit cards or bank transfer. They choose Oxxo, Boleto, Multibanco, etc., etc. What they do is they print out a voucher with a specific PIN number inside, and they go to ATM in Portugal. They go to an Oxxo shop where this payment method is accepted, and they pay that cash. After doing that, they can do a download, they can watch a movie, hear music, or they can pay for that product, and this product can be delivered. On the other side, also a very safe and secure payment method for the merchant.
And so where do we typically see cash-based payment methods?
I see specifically cash payment methods everywhere where the income is quite low, but the people would like to do transactions. Yeah, so there are specific countries where it makes more than sense to think about how to add cash payment methods to a portfolio of payment functionalities. Sometimes people probably underestimate that cash payment is something, it's a kind of niche thing, which is not the case. Every fourth transaction, more than 26% in Brazil, are cash payment transactions. So imagine this is something which is very interesting for every merchant who's trying to sell products in these countries or regions.
So we just talked about cash-based payment methods like Banco Bancario or Oxxo in Mexico. Looking to the future, what kind of e-payment methods can we look forward to?
I think on the top of the list, there are the e-wallets.
Okay.
Yeah. So e-wallet is a registered online money account, which can be loaded with different payment functionalities. Yeah. So, and with this payment function, imagine something what you have in your mobile phone, for example, connected to a QR code or something else, could be used to pay online, could be used to pay in an offline world on a POS. And this is very successful. This is a very big success story if we remind on Alipay, WeChat Pay, especially in the Chinese area, right?
Okay, and why do you think e-wallets have taken off so much in China?
Because they're living a lot of people. One point. The other point would be that I think it's the easiest way to top up a wallet and then to go shopping. Yeah, it's easier to use a physical credit card or to take care about your credit card numbers or your bank account numbers to type that in. It's easier to use that reading a QR code, for example. Yeah, this is the easiest way to pay.
And so how does it work online? If I'm using e-wallet and I want to buy something from an online merchant, what does that process look like?
Well, we have two different processes. One process is you would like to choose on a checkout process when it comes to the customer journey and the payment process as such. You decide to pay with your Alipay functionality. You have to log in and you have to just say, yes, I would like to pay with my prepaid funds, which I've prepaid in this e-wallet account. Yeah. So this is the easiest way. On the other side, if you would like to use e-wallet functionalities to pay in an in-store environment, you just have to put on your QR code on a QR code reader, and then the money will be deducted from your account directly, and you can go with your a shopping basket and go home and enjoy your buyings.
And how big are Alipay and WeChat Pay?
Yeah, we shouldn't underestimate that. I think I can partly answer this question. I would say 50% of everyone who's paying online in China, yeah, they use this e-wallet functionality with WeChat or with Alipay. Most of them have both payment functions connected. Another very important and probably a bit more Western-oriented payment e-wallet functionality is PayPal. Don't forget, this is a very nice success story in Western Europe mainly and in other countries. And that shows us that e-wallets can be a very, very easy way to be liquid on every corner, wherever you want to pay online or in a physical world. Well, I read a nice article saying that more than 50%, I think 57% of the Americans have ever tried to use PayPal for a e-wallet transaction. So that shows us exactly where the preferences are going. Yeah, so people love this easy way to pay, and I think this will be the future for specifically in some very specific industries and regions.
So what are some other kinds of APM?
Well, don't forget that there are some other very probably on a first view strange payment methods, like we've already talked about this cash payment. We have also bill payment, which is in some countries, let's say, necessary to offer. Yeah, if we talk about Central Europe, especially Germany, the people who are buying for long, long years, for many years, products are very familiar with the invoices. Yeah, so we have some companies like Bill Pay. We have a company like Klarna who is using Pay Later functionality, which means that you choose this functionality. You say, I would like to receive the product with the invoice and I will decide when I pay this invoice. Yeah. That means that you probably have a period of 5, maybe 10, 30 days, sometimes until 60 days where you can choose to transfer the money from your bank account in order to do the final payment. In the meantime, you can receive the product already, yeah, and choose if you would like to have the product or still send it back.
And what are some of the benefits for merchants in this case?
I think for the merchants in the first view, it could be a risk because waiting to get your money might be a problem, yeah. But there are some companies like, as I mentioned already, Bill Pay, or companies like Lazy Pay, which are part of the PayU Imperium and Klarna as well, which do kind of factoring, which means that the merchant pays a fee for that transaction and they take over the risk. So that means sending over products, haven't chosen before this Klarna Pay Later functionality or Bill Pay functionality, means the merchant will receive his money immediately. Yeah? And it's up to the payment method, to the APM, to get the money as soon as possible, if possible. Yeah.
So the consumer would order the good from the merchant, and then the APM, in this case, maybe Klarna with Pay Later, would pay the merchant in full, and then the consumer would then pay back Klarna.
Right. That's why merchants have to pay a transaction fee for that, yeah? And that includes factoring, that includes the security to get the funds in time as described in the contract between the APM and the merchant and so on and so on. So I think, depending on the alternative payment method, the risk might be nearly zero or really very low.
Excellent. So it's a more secure payment method.
Yeah, I would say depending on the alternative payment method, it could be very secure if you choose to have this security as a merchant.
Now, in Africa and other developing countries that don't have access to bank accounts or credit cards, what other kinds of APMs might they use there?
Yeah, I think a mobile wallet is something what we have to explain a bit more. And mobile wallet is a functionality which is especially quite well accepted in areas where there's no really financial infrastructure existing. Imagine you're living in a very, let's say, rural area in an African country probably, but you have to pay your invoices, your regular whatever invoices, phone invoices or whatever you do. And this mobile wallet functionality gives you the freedom to load a very specific fund on your SIM card and to use that for your payments. Or you can use your mobile phone to trigger a bank account which is connected to your mobile phone, a credit card or a debit card, in order to make your monthly, weekly, whenever payments you have to do, right? And this is something which is really well accepted. The market relevance in the main African countries is really high, right? So people need to use that. And all the mobile operators has, let's say, a nice portfolio on this payment functionality. Yeah. So it's relevant if a merchant, it's, let's say, depending on this car and this class of customers.
So how exactly does it work online for an online purchase? How do you use a mobile wallet to purchase something online?
Well, it works a bit like a parking meter functionality. Yeah, imagine if you ever use that. That's really easy. It's a back and forth of banking financial details coupled with the SMS and with a PIN number you have to add to this email or SMS back and forth. And this is the certification and the allowance to book funds from one account to the next account. So it's a very easy working payment transaction and functionality. So you receive an SMS probably that you have to pay a very specific amount of your currency, and you will get a monthly information by SMS that you have to pay your $10 for your mobile phone. Yeah, and what you have to do is you have to reply to this SMS with a specific code.
I think the last APN that we're going to talk about today are vouchers. What exactly is a voucher that you can use online, and why is it popular?
Well, there's a nice success story. It's always the same, honestly, Niall, because we're always talking about people who are not having a credit card or don't want to use it. Yeah, imagine you're one of this gamer. So you don't have a bank account, you don't have a credit card, but you go to, let's say, to a gas station or to a shop and you buy a voucher. One of the most popular vouchers, which in a lot of the Western countries, also in India, in Asia Pacific, are accepted is PaySafe card. PaySafeCard, that's an Austrian company with a nice big success story over the last 15 years. What you do is you go to a gas station, you buy for 10, 25, 50 or 100 euro, you can buy your PaySafeCard voucher, or you can go to wkv.com website and buy a PaySafeCard voucher. And everywhere where this PaySafeCard is accepted as an alternative pay method, you can use that card. So if you have a 25 euro PaySafeCard voucher and you pay 5 euro, so this will be deducted from the 25 volume funds which you have on the voucher. So you can use anonymously, you can use from a merchant perspective as a safe payment method, you can use PaySafeCard as a safe payment method. And these are a lot of arguments which merchants love to hear, of course, because this is a guaranteed payment. And the user probably who loves to be anonymous in very specific industries loves to use that because this is something which is easy to use, just to put on the 16-digit PIN and then go for it.
And it has a guaranteed transaction.
For both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jose, thank you very much for joining me today. And I really appreciate it. I think you've illuminated the world of e-payments and APMs.
Hey, thanks, Niall. It was a pleasure to me to have the opportunity to talk a bit about our daily business, what PPRO makes special, and about the APM success story all over the world. And if you would like to hear a bit more, connect PPRO.com and you will get some more details.
Excellent. Thank you very much again for joining me, and hope to see you again soon.
Adios.
Thanks very much for listening. And if you'd like to get in touch, feel free to email podcast@ppro.com and make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter @ppro_group. Make sure to join us next time when we will be exploring another area of the fintech industry. Until then.